Many of us use different types of armor. I'll call it everyday armor. I was working on my property not that long ago. We have a fence between me and my neighbors, and each year stuff grows up over there, mostly poison ivy, and I get it. But there's also thorns and things like that, and so I put on gloves to help protect my hands when I do that. And I know I'm not the only person in here who uses work gloves. I put on this type of armor, so to speak, to protect myself. And my kids are getting to the point where they use elbows and knee pads because they're learning to do things and they're protecting themselves. If you ride bikes or if you're like me, you just need a helmet. We got helmets to wear that protect our noggins. I've seen Miss Kathy out here working in the yard, and she'll wear a large brimmed hat to protect herself from the sun. We use sunscreen to protect our skin. We use coveralls to protect our bodies when we're doing things. We use different types of armor, so to speak, every day. We just don't really realize it. But its goal is to help protect us. That's the use of these things. But then there's things like specialized type of armor. I ride a moped scooter thing, but I still have to buy the same type of motorcycle gear. And it comes with these heavy-duty shoes and armored pants and armored jackets. And there's all sorts of specialized armors that are out there available for us. And this gear, again, is to help protect your life for if you fall or get hit. But then there's even more specialized armor than that. And it's what, like, our police and our military use. Have you ever been watching a show? Well, I guess all sorts of shows do it now. But like a SWAT team will come in and they've got armored trucks and they've got these shields and they've got all this specialized armor. Or if you're a lot like me and you love medieval themed movies and stuff. Oh, I love that stuff. They've got swords and chainmail and all sorts of different things. And it's this idea that you can protect yourself by putting these layers on. There's specialized protection out there to help keep you from harm. And just like the physical, there is spiritual armor that we are to put on. This armor comes with a sense of duty, like the type of armor that you would wear when a police officer puts on his bulletproof vest. He knows that he's getting ready to go out and volunteer to be put in harm's way when he puts that armor on. And we very much in the same manner, when we put on the armor of God, we know that we are getting ready to go into battle. We know we're getting ready to go into dangerous situations. The particular armor we're going to talk about is called the whole armor of God. And it is our Christian battle armor. Paul talks about this in Ephesians chapter 6, and this armor has a specific purpose for the Christian, and that is what we will be talking about a little bit this evening. We're not going to get too detailed, but we'll go over each one of the six elements. And we'll explore the purpose of the armor of God, what it consists of, and break down how it helps to protect the Christian from eternal life-threatening attacks. So right now in Ephesians, Paul is imprisoned in Rome, and he's writing a letter to the church in Ephesus to outline God's eternal purpose in Christ and the church. We know this letter as the book of Ephesians. And in the first half of the letter, Paul speaks on the mystery of God's plan to unite heaven and earth through Jesus. And he talks about spiritual blessings and the new relationship between the Gentiles and Jews through Christ. And Paul speaks on the new life that a believer has in Christ and begins to put applications to these things that he's been talking about. And that will lead him to talking about walking in love, the conduct between husbands and wives, conduct between children and parents, and then conduct between bondservant and master. And as Paul brings this letter to a close, he gives what I'm going to call a pre-battle speech. I don't know if you've watched any of those movies like Braveheart. You know, you get ready to go into this big battle scene, and the guy's walking along, and he's encouraging. He's giving this great speech that psychs people up. It inspires them, and it gives them courage to continue on, to go face the dangers. And Paul does this when he says in verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. If you're familiar, like they would have been, this is reminiscent of the command to Israel when they're preparing for their battle to Canaan. Be strong and courageous in the Lord. Paul reminds the Christian that what great power they have access to through God. And this war, though, is less about physical strength and more about the mental or inner strength, I would say. The strength to stand firm in your convictions and in truth. The strength to keep pressing on. And the strength to stay steadfast in doing God's will. And so Paul writes, here we are, starting in verse 11, he writes, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And so the purpose of putting on the armor of God is so that we will be made strong against the schemes of the devil. The armor is to protect us from that evil which would cause us to be harmed spiritually. And to better visualize how these forces work, there's a cool little video that I took a snippet of from the Bible Project, and I'd like to play that for you real quick. And it'll give you an illustration, a visual on how these forces work. Do I play or do you play?
So demons are spiritual forces at work behind corrupt human power structures.
Yes, but in the Bible they also work on the personal level, animating and exploiting humanity's greed and selfishness, as well as the weakness of our mortal bodies. In the Bible, spiritual evil is at work in anything that drags God's good creation back into chaos, darkness, and death.
So this is why when Jesus arrives on the scene, he said his primary enemy is not human.
Right. Jesus and his first followers viewed all the pain and suffering in God's good world as a sign of its captivity to death and spiritual evil.
But they didn't think this was the end of the story.
Right. Jesus knew that the only way out of this cosmic ruin is to overcome evil and death itself, even if it costs him everything.
I don't know for you, it's very helpful for me to have visuals and things. Did you see how those demons were at work in the people that were around? The evil forces were at work behind the scenes. And that is exactly what we battle. We don't battle flesh and blood. We battle cosmic powers, things that are at work for evil. And this video, again, helps me to see the many different ways that the devil and his demons attack us Christians. The whole goal is to steal, kill, and destroy all that is good. We read that. Especially those who make the conscious effort to follow God and his righteousness. The purpose of the armor of God is to protect us from being destroyed in unrighteousness that comes through the ways of the tempter. And so tonight, we're just going to take some brief time and just cover each piece of the armor that is that we're called as Christians to put on to help protect us. No, not again. There we go. And so, what is the whole armor of God? Now that Paul has established the need for protection, he then tells the church in Ephesus what the protection is by giving them the six elements that make up the armor of God. And we'll read that all together, starting in verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. And so we've read that, and now we're going to go right into what makes up the armor. And the first one we read is the belt of truth. Reference first about the coming Messiah in Isaiah 11, chapter 11, verse 5. The belt of truth is of utmost importance. maybe we shouldn't raise hands, but it's pretty important to have a belt. I don't know about you, but I find it quite important as I grow older. I used to not wear belts, you know, but now it's they have a particular job. They keep your pants up, number one, you know, but they also do things. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but, you know, they're used for things. They used to clip pagers onto them, right? Now they clip cell phones onto them. They'll hold your holster if you carry a weapon. There's all sorts of different things that a belt is good for, and this particular belt will hold onto a sword, and we'll cover that in a minute. Paul states in chapter 4 of this letter, verse 21, that the truth is Jesus. John records in John 17:17 that the truth is God's word. So for the Christian, the first piece of armor that prepares us to actively protect ourselves against the schemes of the devil and his demons is the word of God, the truth. Remember Matthew 4, when Jesus was tempted, he combated the schemes of the tempter with scripture. And we should follow suit. And so the belt of truth is not just vital in the entire package. It's got its own particular purpose in truth. The next one that Paul mentions is the breastplate of righteousness. Again, Paul pulls from Isaiah, this time from chapter 59, verse 17, when he says to put on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate protects one's heart, and righteousness is what protects our heart. And it protects them from the devious plans of the devil. One obtains righteousness through their relationship with Christ. Before Christ was made the way for us to attain salvation, we were dead in our sin. Now those who have put on Christ in belief and baptism are forgiven of their sins and reconciled to God. And this makes righteousness attainable for you and I. And so when we become Christians, we are in righteousness. And to wear righteousness means to focus on our natures, our attitudes, our actions, our words. Everything that we do has to portray the same type of righteousness that God is all about. The shoes of readiness. It is important to wear the proper shoes. You don't want to wear your golf shoes to a marathon, you know. You definitely don't want to do that. They help one to be ready, for we wear shoes based on the occasion. The occasion Paul speaks of particularly is readiness, or being prepared by the gospel. What should one be ready for? We get an idea, again, from Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7, when we read, "How beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, 'Your God reigns.'" Shoes of readiness. We have to be ready to proclaim that God has offered salvation to all through Jesus. This is the peaceful message that should be readily shared with all. And Paul stated earlier in the letter, chapter 2, verse 14 to be exact. Through Jesus' shed blood, peace was preached, and so all who come to God through the blood of Christ have peace with one another and peace with God. And if we truly believe that and we're in our scriptures, we will be ready to share that information. So we have our shoes of readiness. Then we have the shield of faith. The shield is made to protect the user's body, their entire body. And what protects the Christian spiritual body is the shield of faith. Faith is the conviction of God's power and those who believe he will keep his promises. The faithful believe the gospel to be true and rejoice in obeying God's command. It is our faith in God that is a shield for us. Our faith in God is what will protect us from the flaming arrows that Satan shoots at us. John tells us the victory that has overcome the world is our faith. The Hebrew writer will state it was through faith that conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Faith is a powerful, powerful shield, and God uses it for his glory. Our faith is the most precious as it allows us to be protected by God in only the way that God can protect us. The helmet of salvation. Again, quoting from Isaiah 59, chapter 17, Paul says the next vital part of the Christian's armor is the helmet of salvation. One of the most effective ways that we are attacked is through our mind, if that makes sense. Satan has a way of causing anxiety, stresses, doubts, and overall faulty thinking. The helmet protects our spiritual head, which is our thoughts and our mind. Salvation for the Christian is obtained through Jesus Christ. It is something that we currently possess, but it has future implications. And our current salvation encourages us to hope and stay steadfast, knowing that our future salvation is when we get to dwell with God in heaven. And so the helmet of salvation is not just for physical protection. It's to protect our minds as well. And the sword of the Spirit. This is the only offensive weapon in the Christian's arsenal, which is the sword of the Spirit. And particularly, Paul uses a Greek word that I'm not going to try to pronounce for this sword. And it refers to what's called the Roman short sword, which is a specific type of sword that you would... It was designed to ward off attacks and to make quick, offensive jabs and thrusts. And so this idea that we are to be using it actively, the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit, clearly, as Paul tells us, is the word of God, the spoken word that is revealed by the Spirit and being preached, which is the gospel. The word of God is what allows the Christian to expose the evil one and his schemes, and it allows us to advance the gospel message. That is the point of the sword of the Spirit. Oops. So, as we can see, there is a serious threat to Christians that comes from the devil and his companions. Otherwise, we wouldn't be told to put on battle armor. And the goal for the devil and his companions is to make us fall away from the narrow path by any means necessary. And in doing so, we destroys the hope of future dwellings with God. And to combat this, Christians are given armor to protect themselves against these attacks. Again, the armor is the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, shoes of readiness, the shield of faith, helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. And as we begin to close, I would like to bring out one final and very important task that Paul gives to the Christians in Ephesus and to us, so to speak, which also serves as the application. To that end, verse 18 through 20, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Paul states that the Christian should be alert, not just for themselves, but for other Christians. The armor of God allows us to effectively protect ourselves, but with it comes a sense of duty that I had talked about earlier, just very briefly, to look after our brothers and our sisters in Christ. We need to be alert, praying for each other all the time, protecting each other. Marty touched on that a little bit this morning when he talked about the role of the shepherd. It's to protect the flock. That's one of the things. Well, you have to have more knowledge. You know, you have to be able to identify the attack so that you know how to thwart it, right? And we are supposed to be doing that for each other as well. And Paul makes that clear when he says, be alert, not just for your sake, but for the sake of others. So let us all put on our armor for our sake and for the sake of each other. Let's be aware of the schemes that are for everyone who has decided to follow Jesus. We're all going through spiritual warfare. If you've decided to put Christ on in baptism and follow God's ways, you are being attacked in one way or another. That's just part of it. And we have to follow what Paul has told us to be doing here. We should pray for one another to grow and stay steadfast in our Christian walk and be aware of each other's struggles. And so remember that Paul wrote at the very beginning to put on the whole armor of God. That's how armor's designed. It's designed to work together. So let's not just put on the belt of truth. Let's not put on just the helmet of salvation. Let's put on the whole armor of God. It's not effective unless you use every part of it. God has prepared spiritual protection for us from Satan. And as we go out into the world this week, I suggest that we use the armor which is at our disposal. It's there for us to use, and so we should use it. We are in a constant spiritual war, and the way to survive and stand victorious in the end is to use the whole armor of God, which will make us strong in the Lord and to withstand evil and stay steadfast. So as we bring this lesson to a final close, I would just like to I'd like to offer an invitation. We didn't talk so much about getting into how you're saved, but you can be saved. You can be reconciled to God through Jesus. We can put you in the water right now if you want. And there are people in here who know how to use this armor effectively. And if you want to know how to effectively use the armor that's been given to us, you can come forward. If you'd like to put Christ on in baptism, you can do that as well. But let's just remember at the end of the day, as Christians, we are in a spiritual war. And if we walk out of those doors and we don't feel like we're being attacked by Satan and the devil, it's a very dangerous place to be in. I hope that makes sense. I'm not trying to accuse anybody of anything. But if we're not feeling like we're being attacked, perhaps we're not doing what we ought to be doing. So put on the armor of God, and let's support each other, and I'll offer an invitation. So if you have any need, please come while we stand and sing.